Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Jane Hoffman reporting live from Blog Talk Radio on in afternoon. John will be joining us right now. Good afternoon, John.
Greetings to the smoking hot Jane Hoffman.
There's
how's
no
the weather
smoking
over there?
Gun, and I wouldn't describe myself as hot anymore.
Well, you know what they say, if you got it, flaunt it. If you had it, show pictures.
But I have on a suit today with high heels, but then
really?
I switched. I also, half the day I wore a dress with sweat socks and shoes that look like slippers, because the high heels got to be too much.
Well, it is about in the mid-80s here in Santa Monica by the ocean in California. I can't even imagine the weather in the valley, but it is a hot one right now.
Yale reported to me yesterday that it was 98 in West Hollywood yesterday.
Woo! Mercy.
And Jones said it was 100 in San Pedro today, or close to 100.
Hey, we
is
could
that
just
true?
Melt the, we could melt the Great Lakes and pipe that water down to California. We'll take it.
You can take part of the Big Dip up here. It's still half frozen. It's still half frozen.
Oh, mercy.
Today's episode today is Can You Smell Your Own Poop? And
yes.
John, did you have another version of that title?
Well, you know, speaking of poop, it is, I think mine, I don't know if it smells like roses. I want to think it smells like roses, but probably not. So, I think it's, I used to have a friend named Ben who was a sanitation worker, and we used to have Bible studies at his house. And I remember one time telling his wife, because they were having a problem with the toilet, and he told his wife, be sure and tell me, because I can't smell poop. Because he worked in this, you know, the sewage system all day long. That's all he smelled, and he
That's
did 8 hours
terrible,
a day of that.
Yeah.
He was incapable of smelling poo. True story.
Well, I could smell the the environmental poop in L.A.,
yes. By the way, I saw a news flash that there was in Minneapolis that a 15-month-old baby fell 11 stories from the Riverside Plaza apartments.
I know
survived.
Exactly where that is. Really?
Survived. Broken spine, broken ribs, punctured lung, and a concussion. But the kid is alive. Apparently the dad was watching the kids while the mom was out shopping, and the boy's 1.5 years old, or a little over 1 year old, and then he has a 3-year-old sister. And I guess the railings where they're at are 5.5 inches apart. The new standard is 4 inches, but it was kind of grandfathered in. And I guess the Musa Daib found a way to go between the rails and took an unplanned flight.
Well, there's a lot of Somalians in Minneapolis. That sounds like a Somalian name.
I believe so, yes. In fact, a whole community there, and they gathered around. And if he survives, you know, our prayers are with Musa Daib. That would be certainly a miracle baby. Unbelievable. In your own backyard.
Well, if he broke his spine, how is a 1.5-year-old going to sit still? That would be a hard task.
Well, you know, they were saying apparently he landed in some kind of mulch, so I guess some kind of dirt area. And they were saying if it was a regular adult, we would just die. But since babies are so flexible, you know, they're kind of like bouncing rubber jelly balls. And that's kind of the way God made them, because he knew they were going to fall all the time. And especially the brain being the heaviest part, you know, a kid falls over and clunk. you know, that's, you always have to watch for head damage, head trauma. But he
survived. Well, it sounds like the parent wasn't watching him too good.
Well, he left the room for a moment, and, you know, that's a classic line, but, I mean, it only takes 3 seconds, right? You know, just kids get into trouble. Kind of like adults.
That's a bummer.
Yes.
That's a mega bummer.
Well, at least, you know, again, he survived, and it just shows you that there are miracles that happen every day, things that we can't explain. Certainly the mystery, one of the mysteries of life is not being able to smell your own poop. How many times has that happened in life?
I was actually, there. I had another topic for this show, but I figured since we had been talking about phone a lot, I did have a run-in with a recent person who had been in my time. And I came to the conclusion that he can't smell his own poop.
No.
But since I had court today, and I'm not going to say anything more about that, I can definitely smell my own poop.
It's a wonderful, enlightening experience when you can actually look at yourself. And I think it kind of leads into one of the most misunderstood scriptures ever in the Bible. There's two or three, you know, scenarios that people always quote, and it almost never is really accurate. And it's about judging. You know, people say, "Well, don't judge me. Judge, you know, the Bible says, you know, don't, you know, judge not." And really, whenever they do that, they never check the whole passage. And it says, you know, "Judge not, lest ye be judged." And then it says, "First take the log out of your own eye, and then take the speck that's out of your brother's eye." So it doesn't say just, you know, in fact, and actually it's Matthew 7, verse 1, "Judge not that ye not be judged." For what,
why can you not see the speck in your brother's eye when you can't see the log in your own?
Right. So what he's saying is don't just leave your brother with that, you know, impingement in their eye. Look at your own life first before you do that. And I'll give you an example. This is as clear as what we talked about the last couple of shows with the Sterling issue and the Magic Johnson issue. And now, you know, it's gotten to the point now it's like it's overblown. It's like it's just going, it's a pissing contest now. See who can pee the most. But put it this way, hey, NBA players, how about leaving your moral poop outside of the strip club? Because this is a morality issue. It's a discrimination issue. Remember Magic when he got HIV? You know that all the brothers on basketball court didn't want to play with him because they were afraid they could get HIV. They banned Magic Johnson. They wouldn't let him play for a couple years. And they finally, because they
didn't know.
I thought
he resigned on his own.
Well, he did, but the reason he did is because for health reasons, and then after a while, after about a year or so, he was like, you know, I want to play ball again. And because there wasn't a lot of information, players were like, well, can't I get HIV? What happens if he, you know, bleeds on me? What happens if, and then they realized, well, the only two ways that they could catch HIV from Magic Johnson, one is if they had sex with him during the game, which wasn't going to happen, or two, if they had an open wound and he had an open wound, and in a kind of one in a thousand scenario, he bled into the other player through an open wound. That's come even to this day. If a player has a cut, they immediately pull him out of the game and they have the doctor stop the bleeding. And if you can't stop the bleeding, you can't play in the game. But the point is, all those players, even when they knew all this information, and when they had cleared for him to play, there were still players like Karl Malone and others, black players, who said, I don't want to play with a gay guy who's got HIV. I don't want to catch AIDS. Even though they knew that it was not, pretty much not possible.
But who was really in charge of the final decision-making process?
The commissioner, and of course the commissioner acts on the wishes of the owners who put together their, and then they negotiate with the players' union. So the players' union will say, hey, we don't want to deal with this. Or we, in this case, you know, the union's going, hey, Magic Johnson has a right to play. And the owners are, well, do we want this in our, you know, with our product? Do we want this to happen? Finally, what happened, he didn't. He played like in an all-star game or an exhibition, and then from there he was able to play. But the point being, the guys who were prejudiced or discriminating against him, they didn't ban those guys from the league. And they didn't do a lifetime ban like with Sterling. You know, it's like you're done. You're forever gone no matter what. This is it. Yet these players go to strip clubs. They act immoral. And no one gets banned, you know.
I want to say something recently about Don Sterling and Magic Johnson. Don Sterling had an interview with Anderson Cooper, and he said, why do people admire Magic Johnson? He slept with every woman in every city and stuff like that.
Right.
And he was a poor role model, plus he was married and blah, blah, blah. But it was kind of just like whining. He was whining back because, you know, he was upset that he got busted. But he's kind of like an old school white guy, because even when I heard him talking about women, it's like he's saying, she is my girlfriend. I didn't want her to be with a black guy. And I was just jealous of people like Magic Johnson. So I guess the fact of the matter is even... I don't want to say this on air, but he might be thinking what other people are thinking, but he's the only one who has the nerve to say it. But I've only looked at Magic Johnson in a positive view because he's done so much for South Central, and I used to attend his movie theaters with Barbara and some other people, you know, in that Baldwin Hills Mall area. And he's done tons of charity, and I don't even look at Magic Johnson as just an HIV recipient anymore. I mean, he's so far beyond that.
Right. Well, the other thing, and I think Magic in general, I mean, if just his basic story, I mean, his vibe is when he came to L.A., I mean, he's, you know, a happy-go-lucky guy, positive kind of player. People around him love him, gravitate towards him. That's just his vibe. He gets into business after basketball. He's very positive, a lot of energy, understands business well. And I think part of that, too, in business and publicity, you promote yourself, you do charity things. A lot of these things are write-offs. It's goodwill. I think at heart he's, you know, generally a good guy. I mean, he's a positive role model. But on the other hand, the reason that, you know, a lot of his life changed in that the moral aspect is because
he got threatened.
What if he hadn't gotten HIV public? Just think.
Well,
James Worthy also.
Just proof of what a great person he was, because then he did all these PR campaigns for getting checked and getting tested. So somebody who was a prideful person with a lot of vices might have so much pride they could have never re-entered the public square and been so open about their illness.
Right, but here's where it goes back to smelling your own poop. Okay, Donald Sterling got outed, just like Magic Johnson got outed. And in a way, Magic was temporarily banned, almost for life. It's like, we're not going to deal with him. He can't play. No one wants to talk to him. You know, it was very, you know, it was kind of like a lot of players were like, hey, who knows me? Remember for a while, guys were throwing players under the bus like, oh, he's gay. He's a homosexual. They didn't know, you know, he basically contracted as far as his allegedly was.
He probably got from a hooker.
Hooker. The big game James Worthy, his teammate in Houston, got busted in a prostitution ring. And again, you know, when you start, and James is on TV, he works with the NBA and all this stuff. But did they morally oust him for life and ban him, never be in an NBA thing because he's, you know, dealing with prostitutes and exploiting women, right? I'm not saying either or right. I'm just saying, you know, smell your own poop. Remember your situation. No one wanted to deal with you. And guess what? We forgave and we moved forward. And I'm not
right,
saying Donald.
That's the whole thing is, if someone with HIV can turn their image around, that's pretty cool. Plus, there's been a lot of more sympathy and awareness. Like Liz Taylor was nice for the AIDS cause. And then that movie came out last year with Matthew McConaughey that shed some more light. And I actually worked at the Red Cross during the scandal where they didn't test the blood in 1985 and some people got contaminated and died.
Right.
So I was working for the Red Cross at the time of that scandal in down on Wilshire and Rampart in L.A. So, you know,
wow.
I remember the whole chronology of AIDS awareness pretty much. And my friend died of HIV and AIDS at age 49, Barbara.
My cousin, David Yoder, he's a great musician. He died of AIDS. And, you know, it was interesting. And
when
he was, very
was
young.
That?
That was in, he was about, 26, 27-ish. So that was about 28 years ago or so. So we're talking around, mid-90s. And he was so embarrassed about it. And he had a girlfriend. He had a straight life, but he also, he dabbled one summer. He went to San Francisco, went to a gay bathhouse. He was kind of like one of those, like, oh, let me try drugs. Oh, let me try this or that. He hung out with someone who was wired on some kind of drug and went driving around like 90 miles an hour, hit a pole with Dave in the passenger's seat, shotgun seat, and the whole car rolled up like a little can, like a tuna can, and Dave survived. But
and he had to get a blood transfusion.
He probably, but I don't think that's what caused it. But the point is he was experimenting for a couple of years or just trying crazy things, wild stuff. And who knows, could have been a dirty needle, could have been, you know, the gay experience, could have been transfusion, a lot of different things.
How old was he?
About 27, 26, right in that range. And it was just really, but here's the sad thing about it was he didn't want anyone to know until he was dead, basically. And the day after he died, Uncle Dave called me up and said, and called my dad, and we kind of went over it. The point is, I never got to say goodbye, never got to visit him. It wouldn't have been an issue for me. But that's how bad, back then, the prejudice or, whatever you want to call it, against that, certainly the shame publicly, the humiliation of it was.
Well, I do want to talk about an issue closer to home, but I did want to bring up that the same time that I was working at the American Red Cross from 1989 to 1991, we had a coworker named Marshall Palmer who died suddenly in the hospital, and Nikki and I were very upset because we used to have poetry readings in the conference room at afternoon break. And he was up in San Francisco when he happened, and we didn't even know he was gay. He was married. And I guess he had some kind of aneurysm, and he upped and died.
Wow.
And he was only 31 or 32.
Well, it's one of those issues, too. Now, like, take the Sterling scenario, okay, with magic.
Now you're getting obsessed with Sterling like Justin Bieber.
Yes. Well, because it ties into what's happening today with the game. Every day they're saying things back and forth. Like in Magic's case, he's a minority, and he's dealing with an AIDS issue, which is a gay rights kind of or situation. It overlaps with it. So there's sympathy. Now, Sterling's transgression is dealing with, being racist and bigoted and a elite money person living immorally. So he gets zero mercy points, and people that in the other side, they get a lot of mercy points. So that's what I'm saying about smelling your own poop. It's just, it's discriminating against him because he's rich, elitist, sexist, bigoted pig. But still, if he says, I'm sorry, or I need to change, we have zero tolerance just because we discriminate.
Well, I just think that I haven't even paid that much attention to the story. Just the way he frames his speech and how he talks about women and I don't even see how his wife could put up with it. Just I'd forgive him at 80 years old. You know, and like we were talking about privacy rights, his privacy was violated. But the fact of the matter is he's still being defensive and unapologetic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and
he's
also
ripping
down an icon. Magic Johnson's admired by all kinds of people in L.A., not just little black boys.
Right.
You know.
But just remember, time changes perspective. This is a week after. Think about a week after Magic contracted AIDS. It was a split ship. People were like, what's going on here? Is he gay?
Well, it's just the thing, like... Yeah. I'm only going to take one more minute of the show up for this, but his wife wanted to have the team transferred into her name, but
right.
some of the players didn't want any association with the Sterling family after that. But she was probably just trying to save face, but what's your take on that?
Yeah, she's going to litigate it, and I don't think if everyone in the world says you just can't own this team, it goes down to kind of a popularity thing. It's a money thing. The NBA doesn't want to lose money. They're going to lose advertisers. People aren't going to support the product. The players will revolt. So I think she could fight it, at least make it hard for them, but in the end, they can't go back is the whole issue. So, but it will go back when you talk legally. There are certain rights and things. You know, the NBA has its policies, but then, like they were saying, in California and United States laws, there's certain things you just, you know, certain rights you can't throw away. So it's going to be big theater, and they've got a lot of money. What else does she have? You know, she'll have nothing socially to celebrate. So it's a sad, sad situation. But I guess the point I'm saying is no matter who it is, just remember a little mercy and a little forgiveness and, look to God, for your mercy instead of judgment and justice. Because all I'm telling you is if you want justice, there's a long list of people that are going to get hung up,
yeah,
including myself.
You know John 3:16, that verse?
Mm-hmm.
Within that chapter, there's something to a point of, like, if you can't love your neighbor who you can see, how can God love you who you can't, forgive you who you can't see? Like the basis of God's love is love or something like that. So
right.
I already know the verse. It's just that I'm kind of tired today.
And we all have forgiveness, but we still have to deal with consequences. I'll give you an example. To the extreme, if Hitler asked for forgiveness from God, God would forgive him. And we, in turn, should, too. Now, does that mean we let him run a country and an army?
Well, my disabled client just asked me yesterday, do you think Hitler's going to hell? I said, I think a lot of people are going to hell, but if he doesn't go, who would go then? So let me just clarify by reading this verse.
Mm-hmm.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believeth in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Okay, well, I was reading another one about God's love and forgiveness. I am able to forgive the person who offended me. But the thing that I fear about this person is they dissed me because of something they didn't approve of. And
sure.
20-some years ago, they committed a similar act in the sense that they stole from somebody and were
right.
unrepentant and to this day have not repented.
Right.
Not shown shown no remorse, made no attempt to pay that person back, etc. So I'm just wondering, why should I feel full of shame and rejected just because my friend's roommate thinks I'm a scumball now? And
I think it's twofold. Here's something to ponder. First reason for wanting to forgive them is because we want to be forgiven. I can only tell you, I have sins and things and actions and thoughts that every day, you know, I go, oh, I blew it again. Or even I'll tell myself, man, don't do this. Do not do this. What do? I do that, right? Or I can handle this. I can deal with my problem. And it could be something as simple as like watching late night TV. It's like, you know, I'm only going to watch for half an hour and then I'm going to turn it off and then go and, you know, do my work. And, you know, 3 hours later, it's like, well, I thought I had my, you know, addictions can be anything, the simplest things. You know, it could be like your diet, or I'm going to be disciplined on, you know, following up with paying my bills, or with spending time with my children, or being responsible, or not getting in an argument with someone, right? And it's like, and we blow it. So number one is we want to be forgiven above all, because if we don't forgive other people.
But we also have to address the issue now. In this case, my friend thought it was best for me to take time off the radio network. Just he made the decision. It was an executive decision. It wasn't much about money, even though he owed me $22, but it really had nothing to do with it. It was the fact that he didn't give me a choice. Now I forgave him, and I actually like running my own network, seeing my own statistics, which I can also email to you at some point. But the fact of the matter is I like loading my own songs. I like measuring my own stats. I'm enjoying it. Losing a 30 minutes of airtime is kind of a bummer. But the fact of the matter is we're doing fine without commercials and just picking our own shows. But I didn't want, even if it's not a great friendship, it's still, there was some level of value on there, and for someone just to throw it away and not, because they don't want to, he doesn't want to deal with any type of confrontation, and I sent him a one-line email this week, and he didn't respond because he's too prideful, and for me, he is like that sinner that hides from the light, because he doesn't address any of his own poop.
Well, kind of going with that is we are to forgive people. It doesn't mean we're commanded to be a mat that people just wipe the mud off their shoes on. You don't find in scriptures where Jesus, except when he went to the cross, you don't find where people are just constantly stepping all over him. You know, he was wise in dealing with people, and when they tried to set him up, he would flip their questions back on him. He didn't just say, oh, you know, I'm just going to take a sucker punch here. It's like, no, he disappeared when they were trying to throw him off of a cliff. He disguised himself. He knew what was in the hearts of men. What I would say is, like, forgiveness, you can forgive someone, but it doesn't mean you need to be abused by them. And sometimes it kind of works like this. We say, oh, I'm sorry, and then we're expecting them to say, well, I'm sorry too, and they don't. So our natural response is, well, then I take it back. You know, I don't forgive you. It's like, no.
I'm not like that. I know he's angry at me, but the stuff that happened 3 months ago already, and now I'm just dealing with the consequences.
Yeah, and then him reciprocating your forgiveness is on him, is what I'm saying. It's in other words, let his sin or his unforgiveness lie with him. And we're to pray for those that, you know, our enemies, pray for those who persecute us, bless them. And not to be a sucker, but just like, God have mercy on them. And you know, consistent love over a period of time usually wins out, I believe.
And also, the last thing I want to say is, people should be in a strong enough position in life for when they do lose a friend to be able to conquer it, because God does not want us to be dependent on people. He wants us to be dependent on Him, and if we're following Christ and we're doing the right thing, and I'm not necessarily speaking for myself, but if we're doing the right thing, and God, and we're honoring God, and we attract people who are godly, then we don't have much to worry about.
Right, and I'm trying to get to the place of just getting in the mind of that person. I may not understand them fully. I may not agree with them, but just, you know, the mind of you know, the Magic Johnson guy, the Sterling guy, the Bieber guy, the Jane person, the me person, whoever it is, their logic has a certain sensibility to them, Not to me, but to the, you know, the homeless guy thinks, hey, I'm not part of the establishment. I'm not their clone. I'm a free man. No, you're a bum. But still, to them, being a bum makes sense to them. And so I can appreciate their position, even though I don't endorse it.
I agree. Now, we have 1 minute to go, so I pretty much said my conclusion, just be strong in yourself. And I wanted to say that this friend in the past has lashed out and tried to punish people he was angry at. This time he didn't do that, so I know that he's matured in one sense, and I hope he continues to stay mature. What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts are follow the truth wherever it leads you, and when you get there, be sure and flush.
My final thoughts is know your hoe or your basketball owner.
Know your hoe.
I copied you.
Words to live by, Jane Hoffman.
No, I want. There's one more thing I want to say. Here's the acronym for the day. If you adopted Lolo, your nickname could be YOLO. Get it? Yoder plus Lauren?
Yes.
And mine's J-Lo, Jane and Lauren, and yours is J-Yo.
Yes. Joe, and then I'm Joe-Yo, so it could be Joe-Yo.
So what is Slick? Tom Fly?
Oh, yeah, Soda. Soda.
T-Sly?
Because he's T-H-O.
Okay, well, I just was trying to do a play on words.
Yes.
Okay, well, anyways, there's a lot of things in the news lately. I haven't really been following it. I've been watching my crime shows. Do you have any current events before we hang up?
It's you know, politically, you're going to see some crazy stuff again with budgets and with Obamacare. I took a friend today to the hospital, and he's very left-wing, very liberal, very, you know, late 60s, you know, Bay Area, the whole, you know, peace and, you know, like the whole groovy movement. And, you know, Grateful Dead and the Stones, you know, the whole Janis Joplin and Woodstock thing. And he was, you know, an Obama person, and he's just really pissed. He's been to three doctors now who won't do a thing for him. He has a catheter. They won't even pull the catheter, and they told him, like, you can get an infection.
Is it because he can't pay anything?
It's because the doctors won't are afraid they won't get paid because of Obamacare. Because there's too much confusion, and no one wants to.
I thought
to,
it was just because of that client who was poor.
No, there's a couple others. In my case, or in his case, he's you know, it's not so much a financial issue, but it kind of comes down to, it's just like little Nazis. It's like, we're just following orders. Like, no one will step up and just do what's right. They're just like, well, this is what they tell us to do. This is what the government says, so we're just going to follow. We'll wait till their instructions. It's like, if you're sick, you can't wait a couple months to get a update, right?
Well, they can't
right
let someone sit there with a catheter who needs to be changed. He should go to ER and see what happens.
I know, yeah,
there.
I mean, you practically have to yank it out yourself, which I think he's about ready to do.
No,
but
he
can't
do that.
I know, but it's, you get to that point, he's got an infection, if that means something's going on in there. But the whole bottom line is that people in charge aren't thinking. It's like, okay, you know there's going to be a traffic jam. It's like, you know what? Pass a temporary thing, we'll cover 50% or, you know, whatever, or we'll do an emergency thing here and get people taken care of instead of using it to negotiate. It's a hostage situation. It's like, well, we want to pass this budget, we want Obamacare, so we'll let these people just, you know, war of attrition. They're going to die and we'll get our bill passed. That's what it comes down to.
Well, that just doesn't make sense. People have to be worry about the bill later.
Right. Well, that's politics, though. You know how that works.
Oh, I wanted to say one last thing. Clay Aiken won the primary in a congressional race that he's running for. He's the first American Idol winner. I think Reuben Stoddard might have been the first.
Right.
But he was the second.
Didn't his opponent die in a fall or something like that?
I don't know, but I don't think Clay Aiken is a seasoned intellectual. I mean, maybe he has popular appeal, but just based on his personality and likability, but I think Al Franken's more suited for the senator than he is for the Congress.
Well, as we know, it's now it's just publicity and who has a better Twitter following, and also he's got the gay issue, so he's going to get, you know, it's a popular thing. I mean, really, if we all turn gay, we're going to have ratings. It's just, I'm just saying that's what people are writing right now. It's that's the issue. And 10 years from now, maybe another issue. But right
okay,
now,
I think the show is going to close out in like 30 seconds, so we better wrap it up, okay?
Yeah.
So good night, John, and I'll see you Sunday. Okay?
I will see you, Jane Hoffman, and may God be with you in all your decisions, and may forgiveness be there for you and all your friends.
Thank you, and I'll be texting you later about what I did today. Thank you. Okay? Good night with the dog. Bye-bye.
Good night, everybody. Oh, yes. Off to doggy land.
Bye.